So light is a prominent theme in the readings today. From the first reading, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then your light shall rise for you in the darkness. And then Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. The theme of lights is part of faith, that our relationship with God can be described as one with light, one of light, that God wants to give us light. He is the light. Jesus says in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. But he gives us his light so that we can help others, we can shine before others. Reminds me of a story of the call to be saints. A priest went to his Catholic school, to the kindergarten class, asked the students, who is a saint? What is a saint? Expecting the children to give him examples of saints like St. Francis or Mary. He was surprised at the answer of one of the kindergartners. One of the little girls, remembering her experience in the church and just seeing the light coming through the stained glass windows, those pictures of the saints in her church, she raised her hand and told Father, she said, the saints are the ones who let the light shine through. The saints are the ones who let the light shine through. Father was touched. Wow, that's the best answer. He couldn't ask for a better one. And so I'd like to, share two paths of that sainthood. One is receiving, and one is giving. But to be mindful that when we talk about call to be saints, this is, have to keep in mind, this is not like our invention and our idea. That begins with the Lord. Again, it's the Lord who gives us a light, and then we let His light shine through. Father Anthony shared about his experience as a Jesuit in formation when he was becoming a Jesuit. He had an encounter with one of his formators, that is a priest who is helping young men become Jesuits. And the priest asked Father Anthony, what do you want? So basically, why are you here? What are you doing? What do you want? And Father Anthony, when he wasn't Father Anthony, said, I want to become a saint. And this priest looked at him and said, you don't want to be a saint. And he was surprised. He was like, no, I want to be a saint. He said, no, you don't want to be a saint. And he got mad and he left. And he's like, what was that about? Like, he's supposed to be encouraging me. But then in prayer, he recognized it was all about him. Even something good, he was claiming it. This is what I want. And he felt that call to know, like, serve the Lord, follow Jesus. He'll take care of the rest. Let His light shine through. Because the world doesn't need more of my light or your light. It needs more of His light. Okay. So first, receiving. I look at today's second reading for this image of receiving. Paul says, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my message and proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power. So Father Anthony pointed to a couple of things that calls to mind letting go and letting God. You've heard that before. Father Nancy shared, he said, as a man of German and Swiss descent, I am task-oriented. I like efficiency. But he says, when I look at Jesus, he isn't very efficient. When he said that, I was like, oh. I've never heard someone say that before. You look at the, but think about that. If you look at the Gospels, like with a modern lens of efficiency, it's something that our culture values so much. I remember when I was in engineering, I heard about someone going on an internship. They went somewhere up north where they make cereal, and their job, their internship job, was to look at the production line for the marshmallows for Lucky Charms and figure out how we can reduce the marshmallow dust that is eating away our costs. Right? That's our culture. And a lot of jobs are around that kind of efficiency. But Jesus was not very efficient. There are a couple of examples. One is his ministry and mission. That he waits 30 years. He waits 30 years. He spends 30 years in relative obscurity. Seems like he wasted time. And then on the other hand, in Luke chapter 9, it says clearly that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. But then if you read the rest of Luke between that and the crucifixion, that's his mission. His path is like left and right and up and down. It seems like, well, Jesus, you're not doing a very efficient job of getting to Jerusalem. All right. So, Jesus didn't value efficiency as the highest value in the gospel. But, while Jesus may have been quote-unquote inefficient, he was effective. He was efficacious. He saved the world by putting the accent, the emphasis on relationship to his Father rather than on output. And I think that's the invitation for us. Because some of us here, good church people, very good at doing a lot of things for God. And our prayer then can become like this thing of output. I got to do this, 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 and this. Whereas maybe the Lord's inviting you, let go and let God. Let go and let God. Father Anthony shared another point on this theme. He shared the French poet Charles Péguy, who wrote The Portal of the Mystery of Hope, a beautiful just reflection, just in very simple words that speak deep truths. He writes about those, he says, God pities those who work so well, but who sleep so badly. And Father Anthony prefaces, okay, the emphasis is on those who choose work over sleep, understanding that there are some people who want to sleep, but there's a condition or some other illness that prevents them from doing so. No. This is a common theme in our culture, to value work over everything. In fact, ignoring rest, putting rest aside. If we can make more money working 7 days a week, then let's do it, our culture says. And we kind of put rest and we cast it aside as a necessary evil. So what is that attitude? The French poet Péguy writes, God pities those. They don't trust God. As a child lays innocently in his mother's arms, thus they do not lay innocently in the arms of my providence. They have the courage to work. They don't have the courage to do nothing. We look after our business during the day, but we don't trust God to look after it during the night, as if he weren't capable of watching the world for 8 hours. These poor children are following human wisdom. Human wisdom says, never put off till tomorrow what you can do today. And I tell you, put off till tomorrow those concerns and those worries that are eating at you today. Put off till tomorrow those sobs that choke you when you see today's misery. Happy is he who puts them off. Which means happy is he who hopes. Happy is he who sleeps. So again, I share that for some of us here, we need to receive that light. Like we're just busy, busy, busy. We're caught up in this efficiency. We're caught up in working, working, not resting. The invitation to be a saint is to let go and let God. Follow Jesus. He'll take care of the rest. Okay? That's the first thing. But then if you look at the first reading, some of us are being invited a calling to step out, to take that first step. And perhaps our life leans more towards the rest side and less towards action. And some of us, the invitation is, and for this, I think of like when Jesus says, you are the salt. What does he mean? What does he mean, you are the salt of the earth? I think of some advice that's inspired me in how I minister. So there's a scripture scholar, his name is Dr. John Bergsma. And he was giving a talk about the wedding feast of Cana. And if you look at the wedding feast of Cana, there is some interesting roles in that story where Jesus comes and Mary says they have no wine. And then there's a miraculous creation of over 100 gallons of wine at Jesus' command. But if you read that in the Jewish framework, like Jesus is revealing more than his power. Because in the ancient Jewish world of the Bible, it was the job of the bridegroom to bring the wine. And so what Jesus is revealing, not only his power as God, but his closeness to humanity, he's being revealed as the divine bridegroom who brings an overabundance of wine to the wedding feast. Dr. John Bergsma, when he gave that reflection, he turned to the priests in the audience and he said, you fathers, you stand in that place of Jesus in relation to the church. He said, your job is to bring the wine. And so I've taken that as my inspiration, like why I hope there's something of the Spirit when I celebrate Mass. It's because I have that idea in mind that like to bring the wine, that this would be an uplifting, again, trying to bring us to the Lord. It's not about me, it's about Him. It's a delicate balance, right? And I say that because I think that image of salt, it follows the same theme. You can go a bunch of meals without drinking wine, and you can have a great meal. I don't know how many times you could go without salt and have a great meal. When we were on retreat, they had all the seasonings at the table. And one of them was Tony Sacheray's no salt. All right. Now, I know some of y'all, you don't pick that by choice. You pick that because your doctor says, you do it this way, you're going to die. And you're like, okay, doc, I give up. Right. So I took that bottle of no salt Tony Sacheray's and I poured it on my food. And I'm like, there's no difference. And I poured more on there. It's like, all right. So when Jesus says you are salt, he intends that, like, to be that flavor, that savor in the world out there, to let that light, like the light of God, to take that action, to start claiming an adult faith where it's not just gimme, 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 God. But we recognize God has given you. And he's inviting you to give what he's given you, to give that light. To just share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and homeless, clothe the naked. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your wound shall be quickly healed. So, in Father Anthony in the retreat, he talked about magnanimity. I've shared this with you before, that generosity of soul, to be generous in receiving. To receive all that God wants to give you. That's what a relationship with God is. It's receiving all these gifts, learning how to receive, and then learning what it is to share what God has given to you. All right? Some of us here need to let go and let God. Some of us here need to take, to follow God's command and trust in Him and actually rest when He says. That's what Sabbath rest means. Do you trust God to give Him this day? Do you trust God to give Him this hour? To let go and let God. Some of us need to take that step back. And some of us need to take a step forward. God has given you. And your relationship with God maybe has been receiving this whole time. Maybe in God's inviting you to give, right? And so pray with one of those. I'll just share. We have a presentation at the end of Mass. And I've seen the ACTS retreat as a tool, as a ministry, as a program. It's all of those things. It's a retreat. I've seen it help adult Catholics start to step into their faith as an adult and kind of move out of from maybe an infant faith, a level, of, you know, a second grade level faith where it's just gimme, 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 God. And learning what it is to give when where you have been given. So we're going to have a presentation at the end of Mass, just inviting men to consider. We have our women's retreat in September of this year. Our men's retreat is coming up in March. So hope that's something you would consider, our men here in Mass today. But either way, which one of those you want to pray with? Letting go and let God? Or taking a step in your faith? Or giving what God has given to you? Let's pray that we may know His light, what it is to trust in Him, so that we would share what He wants to give to us. Amen.